Welcome back to the Hope Through Cancer series. I'm Marty Pieper, and especially since we're recording this in October, which is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, I am super excited to introduce my guest. Her name is Jenny Dent Brandt, and she's an author and speaker who has a new book out called Unleash Your God-Given Healing. Jenny, I am just so glad to introduce you to our audience today.
Well, thank you for having me, and I'm always ready to talk about what we can do to help people prevent and get through the breast cancer journey.
That's right. Now, I feel like I can't do this interview without letting people in on a little secret that Jenny and I are speaking over the phone right now as we record this, but we actually live in the same town. And we found that out almost by accident through a special award that she won for this book. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that award, Jenny?
It's called the Golden Scrolls Award, and it's given by the Advanced Writers and Speakers Association. It's all the mainly women, but who write and speak in the United States. And it was just a great thrill for me because, you know, I wrote this book because God told me to write it. And I didn't want to write the book. I didn't want to talk about cancer. I didn't want to talk about the journey. I didn't want to speak about it or write about it. And when the hospital chaplain said to me, Jenny, consider this a gift from God for you to help other people, my first response was, but you don't understand. I don't want this gift, and I'll never write a book about this.
Ooh.
And lo and behold, never say never, I write the book. And that award was like the confirmation. See, I told you to do this, and this is your confirmation.
Well,
and the
exactly
book is helping
right.
So many people to give them hope to prevent cancer, and also, if they have it, to get through the journey and come out with a better prognosis.
That's right. Now, I found it especially interesting that you actually won in the memoir category, which is a personal story, and it is your personal story, but it's really intertwined with help and practical things as well as spiritual things that we can do to prevent and to help us, if we're in this journey, to go through it or maybe to prevent from ever going on that. Well, I want to talk about all of that, but one thing, I guess, because I kind of want to start at the beginning of your journey, I don't think there wouldn't ever be a good time to find out that you had cancer. I think everybody would agree about that, but you found out, I guess you would say, at a really terrible time in your life. Would you share with our listeners how you got your diagnosis and what was going on at that time?
It was just 4 months after my mother died from breast cancer, and my sister and I served as her caregivers during the journey, so I knew what was ahead of me. And so it was just shocking and horrifying, and I was still grieving her loss when I got the news. So it was a shocker. There's no doubt about it.
And I remember in the book, I don't know that you used the word denial, but it seemed like that you were grasping at every word of hope you could get along the way. Well, most people, it doesn't turn out to be anything. And well, even if I have this biopsy, it's probably going to be good. But the end result was you did indeed have breast cancer. And not only that, you had, if I'm remembering right, a really aggressive form.
Yes, that is true. And I knew I was high risk for colon cancer. It runs in my family like a plague. Both my parents had it, my uncle, my grandparent. I had already been told by doctors I was high risk, and I had to start with colonoscopies at 30 years old because of that. So
I have great sympathy for you.
Yeah, I was proactive in that area, but breast cancer, I was getting the mammograms every year and going for the doctor's appointments, but I was doing nothing else preventative because it wasn't a cancer that was in my family, number one, to our knowledge, and it was not a cancer I had risk for.
Wow.
But
now,
guess what I found out, Marty? We're all at high risk in this culture for breast cancer, with 1 in 8 women getting it and 1 in 1,000 men getting it. And men shouldn't be getting estrogen-fed breast cancers, but they are. And I went on a quest to discover how someone like me, who had no risk factors, so with no risk factors, the doctors did genetic testing, I had no genetics showing up either.
Wow.
So I went on this quest to discover.
That's super convicting for me because I do not have breast cancer in my family.
I can't blame it on genetics.
Yeah.
I can't blame it on the risk factors.
Wow.
I don't have either one, but I knew something caused it and no stone would be left unturned until I figured out what it was. Because if I don't figure out what caused it, how can I stop it from the greatest fear any breast cancer patient has, it coming back?
Coming back. Well, now that was something that was really intriguing to me about your book, about your journey, was the word I used to describe it was you, or the phrase was that you approached your cancer as if you were a general planning a, people use that term, cancer battle. You actually, I think you had a military strategy in your approach toward this. Would you, I don't know if that's what you called it, but would you unpack that a little bit for us and how you went all out in fighting this thing?
I did, because the one thing I never wanted in life, I don't mind surgery, I don't mind certain things, but I never wanted to have to endure chemotherapy. And when three different cancer centers told me that in order to save my life, I would have to have the worst of chemotherapy for the longest amount of time, again, I was devastated. So I started turning to, what can I do to help my doctors to beat this cancer and lessen the side effects of all these treatments I'm going to be given?
Wow.
And that began to be my goal because, yeah, the doctor has a huge part to play in this cancer journey, for sure. They bring out things I have no way of bringing out, and the surgeons are better than they've ever been, and there's so much in our favor today when we have to face a cancer diagnosis because of new inventions and new technologies. But I didn't want that chemotherapy. When my cancer center, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, told me they were going to provide a naturopathic doctor and a nutritionist to help me get through the treatments, then I started to feel more comfortable. I believed in nutrition. I believed in integrative medicine. And having those two, as I call them, good fairies, or as you would call them, part of my battle plan to win the war against cancer, that made me feel so much better. But I went beyond those two good fairies. I researched further, and I kept looking for anything I could do to help my doctors to beat my cancer.
Yeah, that was something that really impressed me, because you didn't see yourself as a victim, although I know you must have felt like that along the way, but you were an active part of this team that was fighting this disease. So tell us more. I know we only have a limited amount of time, so you tell us, what are some of the most important components of, for anyone who's interested in this topic? Maybe they have a loved one fighting the disease. Maybe they're fighting it themselves, or they're looking at, wow, this could happen to me no matter what because it's so unpredictable.
It is. And for all three, I would say the same thing. Let's look at water. Water is the first step in my book, because water, sufficient hydration, impacts every cell and every body system in your body. And so if you want your body to work as God intended, every chemical reaction to take place and every one of those systems to work right so that your immune system is functioning at max, then you want proper hydration. Now, at certain times, you're going to want increased hydration, like if you feel a flu or cold coming on, or if you have to go through chemotherapy, you're going to increase hydration to ensure that the chemo gets to every cell. But also, once the chemotherapy has done its job, you want that all those toxins and poisons and dead cancer cells to be taken out of your body through your excretory systems. And if you don't drink enough water, that's not going to happen properly, which leads me to another step in the book, and that's exercise. Your lymphatic system is part of your immune system, but it's the one system in your body that only works when you move during the day. God created our bodies to move during the day and to sleep soundly at night. And so just preventing breast cancer, if you walk every day several miles, you're helping your body to prevent all kinds of diseases, including all kinds of cancers, because that lymphatic system is your trash system. It actually gathers the trash from your cells, the germs, the bacteria, the cells that are starting to go away, and it takes them out of your system. But if you don't move, and the sedentary lifestyle is a major risk factor for cancer, and this is the reason why. Now, when you look at someone going through chemotherapy, if they are constantly moving before and after chemotherapy and all in between, which is what I did, and no doctor, no nurse told me to do that, I did it by instinct, and now the research completely backs, several years later, what I did with the Holy Spirit just leading me to move. I moved 2 miles before chemotherapy, 2 miles after chemotherapy, and every day in between. I moved before and after surgery. I walked 2 miles on the hospital floor after my first surgery, and the doctor said, "We've not done this before. We're releasing you early, but all those tubes coming from your breast that your husband was going to have to babysit for weeks, we're pulling them all today. Your body has taken care of that. All the drainage, it's pumped the anesthesia out of your system. It's reduced your risk of blood clots. It's promoted healing in your body. Good for you." Now, if a doctor told you not to move because your surgery was in a weight-bearing place like your knee or something, then you would wait until the doctor told you to move. But the whole point is they now know that exercise is one of the best things a cancer patient can do at every point of treatment in the journey, because it helps to promote healing. And it's all about pumping that lymphatic system with water, with exercise, to get all those toxins out of your system after the chemotherapy. So you see these people sick to their stomach after chemotherapy, not being able to do anything.
Right. They're
not
just kind
like
of,
that.
The classic picture is like you're just lying there too sick to even lift your head up.
Yeah, and if you are that sick, then you have to wait until you can lift your head up. But I tell people, hey, get your daughter, get your son out of the hospital bed if they're lying in the bed and the doctor says it's okay. Mom on one side, dad on the other. Let them get up. Help them to move. It's important that they move, but you do what you can when you can. But I was literally climbing mountains, snow skiing, doing a 10-kilometer run, which I walked briskly, during chemotherapy, okay? This is unheard of, but the point
now,
is...
Now, were you this active beforehand, Jenny, before
now,
the...
Now, I was. I
okay.
was. I was even more active once I realized how it's going to benefit my body. But, yes, I was an avid walker. I probably walked 3 or 4 times a week, 2 or 3 miles a day, but I did even more exercise after I got cancer because I needed it. It's so many points and junctures to help promote healing in the body, to protect my bone density from the fact that my bone density is going to take a hit because of the chemo, then the pill you take, that these estrogen-fed cancers, which is 80% of women with breast cancer, for 5 years kills your bone density. So I'm fighting back by weight-bearing exercises and walking and doing all these things. So I actually exercised more after I got cancer, and now I have to keep that for the rest of my life because I see all of the benefits.
That's really amazing. Now, one of the things that you and I talked about before was that you watched what they were doing, and you were your team of people, and you listened to what they said. And I've talked to all sorts of people doing this Hope Through Cancer series. We've had all sorts from I'm not going to call it cancer, I'm going to speak against it, and to I'm going to do everything my doctor said, to well, what the doctor said is good, but God's led me to go another direction. So it's just been a very interesting series, I think. But one thing that was interesting to me about you was you did do what the doctor said, but you added to it. Is that a good way to sum it up, Jenny?
That's exactly right. The patient can be proactive and they can have an impact in their cancer journey. You either go to the doctor and you say, "Doctor, beat my cancer and I'll lay here while you do it." Or you go to the doctor and you say, "All right, doctor, I'm here and I'm going to do my part." And most times, sometimes the doctors will tell you, yes, hydrate. Or they'll say something like, yes, it is better that you exercise. We know that now. But you kind of have to pull it out of them. Some of them will offer. The thing is, go to your doctor and say, "What can I do to help you beat my cancer? Anything you have wrong with you, go to your doctor and ask, 'I have high blood pressure. What can I do to help me get it down?'" Okay? The answer doesn't always have to be medication. We love those medications, and they can save our lives. But if there's some other way you can handle it, ask your doctor, what might you do? Doctors usually know, but they quit telling people because people don't want to know. They just want the doctor to take care of it.
Exactly, exactly. Or they're so determined to fight against what the doctor says or not. You know, maybe they listen in 1 year, and then when they go out and do something completely different. And I'm sure that's got to be frustrating when you're a medical professional.
Right. A lot of them have just, you know, unless someone asks, they don't have a lot of time. But when they meet resistance, it's like, you know, I can't make, what I say in the book is I teach you to control what your doctor has no control over, your lifestyle habits, and technically it's not your doctor's responsibility. Okay? It's your responsibility. So when you take that as your responsibility, let the doctor do his job, you do your job. In any medical situation, you're going to fare better. If you have high cholesterol or high risk for heart disease and you change to a more plant-based diet, guess what? You're helping your doctor beat your disease.
Yeah. And I think you and I had talked before, when we first spoke before the podcast, about how even some, or maybe all of, but at least some of the techniques that you recommend in your book are not a cure by any means for COVID-19, but because they're antiviral, because they're helping your body to become more healthy overall, they actually would help anyone's body do a better job of fighting the virus, either prevent them from getting it or help assist them in fighting it should they contract it. Isn't that right?
That is right. And the reason is, if you follow the CDC guidelines, then you are reducing your exposure to the virus, and that's very important. But if you add to that building and boosting your immune system, then you're hitting it from two different directions. That's why your prognosis or your prevention of it is going to be better. When you do both, you're going to do better.
That's amazing, in it. But it's one of those things that's kind of like those times in the Bible where you read and you're like, I never saw that before. Did God just put that in there? And everything you're saying makes perfect sense, but I certainly hadn't put it all together before reading
the book
and before talking to you.
I didn't until I got cancer. And I never always looked at the diet. I thought I had a healthy diet. And then when I started reading what a really healthy diet is, I said, whoa, I have missed the boat. I thought I was a health nut. I'm not. And when you look back in Genesis 1:29, eat, look, this is what I have given you for your healing. Well, he says basically, I've given you these foods to eat. Later, scientists would be able to tell you directly what healing chemicals are in each one of these plant-based foods, nuts, seeds, fruits, vegetables, herbs, anti-cancer, immune building, all kinds of things. And so what God was telling Adam and Eve was, you know, I've given you these foods, and really they have these healing powers.
That's amazing. And now we call them superfoods, but God had it planned all along and knew
Right, but we mainly eat junk food, and we only get two or three of these plant-based superfoods a day if we get that many, and really we should be getting 10 to 13 according to the USDA. Adam and Eve, this was their diet.
Mm-hmm. Well, we talked in the very beginning about that moment when you got the diagnosis and how hard that was for you in just about every way, because you're already grieving your mom, and now you're having to face this. Going along, what would you say was the most, what was the most challenging moment that you had? Because I want this to be real, and I know it wasn't all, oh, I'm going to fight this, I'm going to do great. So what was the hardest thing for you?
It was just hard to deal with the roller coaster rides of ups and down. One minute you'd be soaring in faith, the next minute I'd be cowering in fear. But Marty, I had to realize that if I was going to get through this journey, not that I would be perfect with my emotions and never have a fear, that would be untruthful to say, but I realized I couldn't live in fear, that I had to get on top of it and use my faith to manage my emotions. And the Bible clearly tells us in Philippians, when Paul is right there in prison in the middle of the trial of his life, the Bible tells us to pray about everything, give thanks in all things, and look for the good things. And that gave me the wisdom to just dwell on the good things, to praise God for all the good things that were happening in my life in the midst of the cancer journey, and to pray about everything instead of living in fear and going from one mountaintop to a low valley back up. I mean, I even had a panic attack before my second surgery because my husband was not able to be with me, and I let things get out of control, and I realized after that, I said, you know, I've got to get on top of this, you know, because what do we learn from doctors and from scientists now but that your fears and your emotions can actually drive cancer and disease. But if we get on top of it, we can promote healing in the body and help our doctors to beat our cancer. The man who wrote the book with me, an oncologist, a medical doctor, he wrote the excerpts in every chapter. He said, clearly, someone of faith is going to do if you're using your faith to manage your emotions, because it's going to promote healing in the body. You're just simply going to do better because, you know, let's say it is your ticket to heaven. Let's say you're stage four and they can't do anything to stop it. Well, at least you know you've got eternal life to look forward to. So
that's right.
A Christian's viewpoint. Yeah, not a bad option at all. So the Christian's viewpoint, and if you use that faith to manage your emotions, you're going to fare better than someone who doesn't have that faith to rely on.
Wow, I love that so much. Well, Ginny, we mentioned some of the practical things, and there is way more in the book, obviously, than what we can share in our quick interview here. But I'm sure you have people come up to you all the time who say, Ginny, I just got the news. My doctor just called. I have this diagnosis, or my friend, my sister. What do you do? Or what do you say? I know you're a counselor by profession, but what do you say to the person who comes up to you with those hard words to hear?
Well, the first thing I tell them is your body was created to heal. It contains all these self-healing mechanisms. And the fact that you have cancer lets you know that things weren't working as they normally should have, or this wouldn't have happened. But by getting on board with how God created the body to work, if you find the best doctors, the top in your area, in the specialty of cancer that you have, and you put a plan in place, you will fare better. It gives a patient hope to know that they can have a part in their progress, in their prognosis, and they most certainly can. The doctor plays a huge part. I'm not discounting that at all. Conventional medicine saved my life, but my prognosis was so much better because I took the bull by the horns, and as you say, I put a battle plan to fight in place.
You sure did, and I'm so grateful for the way, not that you had the cancer necessarily, but I am grateful for the way God has used you and is continuing to use you. There's one more thing. I would love it. I believe the most powerful way we can help our listeners is not information, even though we both think information is super important. I believe the best way you can help is by praying for them. And Ginny, I would love it if you would kind of close out our podcast today by praying for our listeners.
I'd love to.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we bring the listeners today who are hearing this podcast before you. Some may have a lot of cancer in their family tree. They may have been through it with someone, and they have this fear inside, Lord, don't let this be. I pray for these people. May they realize that they can put preventative strategies in place that will allow their body to work as you intended. And Lord, I especially pray for that person who's just gotten the bad news. It's hard to hear the words, you have cancer. But I pray that that person will seek you. I pray that you will help that person to promote healing in their body as their doctors are treating the cancer, so that they can return to a full and vibrant, normal life where they can continue to serve you. Lord, I pray for that person who's been told by the doctors, Lord, you know, to the patient, there's nothing more we can do to help you. We can't stop the cancer. That's a difficult bit of news to hear. But we also know, Lord, that eternal life as Christians is our reward. And that means our ticket to heaven is close. And I pray that you would be merciful as they get closer to that time when you take them home. Lord, we are to be your witnesses, even in the middle of a cancer journey. May we show your light, no matter what we go through, until the day you take us home. And thank you, Lord, for making our bodies with all these self-healing mechanisms. You alone are God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Jenny, I just want to thank you again so much for your time, for your wisdom, for your book. I'm going to mention the name again, even though you didn't, and this isn't a commercial, but I am really excited about her book, Unleash Your God-Given Healing. And I think it's clear from what Jenny has shared with us that this is what she believes. God has placed the elements, the ingredients for healing within us already. And I know I've been convicted to step more into his plan. So thank you again for sharing with us. And listeners, I want to thank you too. We are always grateful that you take time to join us. And I hope you'll look for other episodes of the Hope Through Cancer series on Charisma News.